Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, I am with the lovely Suzanne Bandick. This is one of the very, very, very few Canadians I will have on the show and not bust their chops for being Canadian. For those of you that are not, that are really familiar with our little universe here, you might notice she has the same last name as one of our other Canadians that whose chops I do bust, Sean Bandick. This is his bride. Not only she's believe it or not, she's not on the podcast because she married Sean, which is, you know, that's in and of itself. You should get a medal of some sort. But she is one of our mindset coaches. She is amazing. I love having the mindset folks on because so much of the business success or lack thereof is the stories that we tell ourselves, the beliefs that we hold, the way that we look at our business. And I'm okay at that, but we have people that are experts at that. So today, Suzanne and I are going to talk about specifically, well, first of all, let's introduce yourself. Because I think this is the first podcast Suzanne's been on. That's my introduction of who the heck on God's green earth you are. You might have a different definition of who you are. Please share with Cleaning Nation, who on God's green earth are you, young lady?
Why, thank you, Mike. For me, I would like to explain that I have been a mindset coach, a life coach, a business coach for over 20 years. I joke about it. I started when I was like 16 reading personal development and self-help books, and I wanted to like just help people. So I would say, don't feel bad. Look at this instead. And people just wanted to deck me. Because they had no foundation from the bad to the good. Now I've learned a lot more finesse, and I don't think people want to deck me as much. I'm a little more able to get to the point. I might be selfish
because I'm still in the stage of, well, don't look at that. Look at this. This is much better. And I think people still want to deck me. So this might be just a personal coaching session for Mike that you guys get the lesson in on. Cause I'm still at that. I've been coaching for years now and I'm still at where Suzanne was 20 years ago. Continue.
And I just wanted to let everyone know that I also have a background. I was fortunate to be able to be mentored with Bob Proctor, who is one of the foremost thought experts on health and business development as well. So
funny, by the way, for everyone that gets to talk to Sean, he and his wife are, I'm so like machine gun, loud and obnoxious, blah, 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 and periodically mildly entertaining and often want to get decked. Whereas Sean and Suzanne both have this super like calm energy that is slower and more considerate of the words they use. And it's so funny that it's just completely different energy wise. And I love it. I feel like I'm getting spoiled. Okay. So I asked Suzanne what she wanted to talk about. As soon as she said it, it resonated with me. She initially talked about just not wanting to feel alone. And I remember when I bought my first ServiceMaster commercial cleaning business when I was 22, in 1998, pre kind of the internet and all this availability of stuff. And I don't even know if that's helped, but it was super lonely, right? I would have problems that my friends didn't have and couldn't relate to. So I learned pretty quickly. Hold on. Woo! That was a big one. So for everybody wondering, I wonder how much they edit this podcast. You now know zero is the answer in that. So that just happened. Okay. So I learned quickly that I learned you want to get decked. You're like, hey, I'm worried about hiring someone or buying a bunch of equipment. And these guys are making like $12 an hour. They were not interested in that problem. Or people quit or just any of the things I had. My friends, and again, Suzanne gets to talk to a lot of people in the community. So maybe she's got a different perspective, but it was just super lonely. I had no one I could talk to. My spouse loved me and cared about me and understood the business was for both of us. And she tried to help and be supportive, and she was supportive, but she didn't get it. Like, just nobody got it. And that coupled with I'm new here and I didn't go to business school, and I've coached those that went to business schools, no help at all. I was never prepared for this. So I'm super lonely. I don't have anyone to talk to that really gets it, combined with I don't really know what I'm doing here. So and everyone's looking to me to kind of have the right answers and know what's going on. And if I don't, they'll realize like I'm this complete, not scam, but like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. It's not always comfortable. So talk to, I'm sure me and maybe a billion other people that own businesses that are listening feel that way. So coach us up, Suzanne. How do we get through that in a healthy way?
Well, you know, Mike, it's so common. We're not taught to look for support networks. We're not taught to ask for help quite often.
And is that a guy thing? Because I feel like me, I'm like, oh, that's the girls are better or the ladies are better. Is that the truth or is it universal?
No, ladies are not better at it. And part of it is putting up a screen. We go out with a persona that we think the world wants to see. And we can do that when we socialize with our friends as well. We're not letting down our guard. We're not being real. And even that leads to an isolation.
So the not asking for help looks different, typically, not always, obviously some guys, but typically looks different for women than for men. But we both do the same thing, which is I kind of want to isolate, or I don't want to isolate. I desperately want to connect, but I don't know how.
And there's very much the sense of people want to belong. They want to belong to something. They want to belong to a group. They want to feel a sense of worth through that. And it's very hard when we put up the outside exterior of we have to pretend to be something that we feel that we're not. And often we can't even go to our families because they don't understand or they're not supportive. Or sometimes we start to get successful. Has anybody felt this? You're getting successful and your friends or your family want to pull you back down.
It's crazy. Like I've told the story before, and sorry, Blondine, my mother-in-law, who I love, my poor wife, who's thin and healthy and beautiful. She grew up and, you know, she was like 123 pounds. Her mom would be like, you know, Telly, you're not eating enough. You're too skinny. You're, you know, this isn't good. You're starving yourself. And 124 and a half pounds was fine. But at 126 pounds, like, Telly, you're putting on all the weight. You better be careful. You're going to get too fat. And I feel like our friends can be that way with business, right? When you're struggling and broke, like, you're so dumb. You should have kept a job. Because again, I've got, you know, not I, they've got this job or this whatever. And if you're super successful, that kind of maybe makes them feel some way they don't want to feel. So when you're not doing well, there's not a lot of like support. And then as soon as you have a nickel's worth of success, they crap on you the other way. So it's like, you can't, like, there's just, you feel like you got to get any support. You got to walk this line of like semi failure, kind of successful, but not too. I mean, is that, how do you work through that? How do you make that okay and still do what you got to do and lead?
You have to work from the inside.
Tell me about that.
So it's the inner work. That's where I do a lot of my coaching practice involves. You're okay. You're perfect the way you are. In fact, I teach everyone, they already have their own answers. My job is simply to help you realize you have your own answers. You know inside what you want.
So how do I know when they're right? Right? Because I think there's two ways we can make this mistake. Like everything I do, every thought I think is perfect and genius and I don't need any coaching and I'm perfectly fine the way I am, which I think can have some negative unintended consequences perhaps. And then the flip side is I'm an idiot. I don't know anything. Who would listen to me? I have nothing to offer. And certainly that's not going to do any good. So how do we know? And there can be parts of that. You know, there's some humility that needs to be there and there's some confidence that needs to be there, but you swing too far, man, and you're dying. How do you, and it's not just like being in the middle. I think it's being confident when confidence is called for and having that confident, but not arrogance and humility, although not, you know, crapping on yourself when called for. I mean, that's just such a hard line to walk to know when to show up and how, and even knowing how to be confident can kill your confidence.
There's a lot in that.
Yeah. If you could just sum that up for me in the next 2-3 minutes, that'd be just great.
Let's delve into Mike's psyche.
Yeah. Suzanne's like, I'm working for a crazy person. Sean did not tell me Mike was out of his damn mind. I thought he was a functioning member of society.
But you know what, Mike? The reality is you're not alone. We all get that to some extent.
Oh, not me, by the way. I was talking about everyone else. I'm perfect. I have none of this issue. This is other people, just to be clear.
Okay.
Canadians mostly.
How often as children are we taught not to speak up? or to go do something that we don't want to do. Hug Uncle Bob and you don't want to hug Uncle Bob, but you're not given a choice. Or children are to be seen, not heard. I don't know, maybe I show my age. I grew up with that one, right?
Yeah.
So again, it's a question of reestablishing yourself as an adult to realize you, the thoughts that feel good are generally going to take you in the right direction. So that's when you know the negative self-talk and it makes you feel bad is not where you want to be. And then it's a question of replacing those thoughts with a new story, a new thought.
So how do I know? Because again, it's funny. I have found earlier, younger Mike was a lot harsher on Mike than probably necessary. And that was not helpful, not only to me, but to my family. And it wasn't just like, oh, I should be nice to myself for me. There's other people that I touch and affect and it would have helped them. But I've also found, so I guess when you say the thoughts that make you feel good are typically in the right direction. I'm like, I would agree with that. But from my experience, and again, I'm okay with you going, that's just you, crazy person. That's not how the world is. There would be an asterisk of sometimes thoughts make me feel uncomfortable or out of my comfort zone. And oftentimes that shows me I'm in the right direction as well. So I wanted to make the distinction between you're stupid and you're dumb and you have nothing to offer. And why would you even try and do this? Clearly that's not helpful. And you're smart and you have something to offer the world and you can do this. That is helpful. But there is that it's not my fault. That can feel good in a not helpful way, or it's COVID. Okay, everyone's broke during COVID. What could have I done? There's nothing. That makes me feel good. And then we're talking about this loneliness. I can find 100 people to tell me, of course it was COVID. What else could have you done? Shut down and curl up and die. So how do we make that distinction between positive thoughts and negative thoughts that are kind of, I don't say letting ourselves off the hook, but are giving us permission to not be who we're created to be and take responsibility for our own outcomes?
Well,
we got deep quick, by the way. This is the podcast. She's like, why did I sign up for this?
I was going to say, this is going to get a little deeper, but everything that happens in our life, we have attracted.
That's a writer downer, kids. Everything that has happened in our life, we have attracted. Continue.
Right. So we are responsible, and we are responsible for everything that comes into our life. And that is really easy when you like it. You can say, I did that and feel great. But when you've got something, you've got a lack of money, or you've got people who are not being kind to you, or you've got everything happening that you don't like, it's really hard to stand up and say, wait a minute, I did that. And that's when we have to look back into the thoughts of what's creating that, because our mind wants to prove us right. So if our thoughts are negative, we're going to get that, and our mind is going to say, see, I told you so. And if our thoughts are positive, we're going to get that, and our mind is going to say, see, I told you so. Our mind just wants to prove us right.
I think that's why questions are so important, right? If I ask the question, why do I always screw up? And what kind of idiot would find himself here? My brain will go, done. Let me go. I've got 1,000 answers. Let me go get them all for you. And then we get those things and we're going to shoot ourselves in the head. Or when we go, what would I have to do? How would I have to show up? What would I have to believe? How would I have to act? How would it feel if whatever positive, I was to attract the amazing mate I wanted. I was to have the money that I wanted. I was to be able to hire and never clean again. What would that guy look like? My brain's going to be like, yes, sir. I'll go grab 1,000 answers to that question.
Exactly. We call that a what if statement. And we go, what if up, right? What if, and we pick the good thing. What if this happens? Or you're afraid to make a phone call, or you're afraid to make that contact, instead of going, well, they're probably going to say no and hate me. What if they're really pleased that I'm on the phone and asking this question of them? What if?
Yeah, here's a big one. When people get in the course, one of the first things we do is look at their finances and make sure they've got a business model that'll support them, which is killer, by the way. It's so frustrating to see, for those guys and gals out there, really bright business people that they're caring and they're kind and they're leaders and people are attracted. They've got everything in the world right, but they don't have the money works, right? They don't know how to charge. So that's you. Reach out. I'm dying to help you. That said, many times, if the numbers aren't right, or they've been cleaning and numbers, you know, prices that would work when I'm personally cleaning in my own car, my own truck, I might have made a nickel doing that, but then I want to hire someone else. Now all of a sudden it doesn't work. So end of the day, they realize, holy crap, for me to have the goal I want to goal, the business I want to have, I gotta raise prices. And of course, the fear is, what if they're angry or they hate me or they're mad? Walk us through that. Because that's probably the biggest, soonest thing I get is what, you know, and it's always what if. And they don't phrase it as what if. To me, they just, it's a fact. Oh, they're going to quit. Oh, they're going to hate me. There's not even a what if. They just assume. So walk that poor sap through his life.
Okay, let me go through specifics on that one. Okay, so you can create the what if bad story, the negative, or you can create the what if good story, positive. So my recommendation in a situation like that is to pre-picture the business that you want, the life that you desire. Picture the big scene first, and then I want you to picture the individual that you're talking to. If you want to raise prices, I want you to picture having a conversation with them, and I want you to picture their good response. And that it's going to be a positive thing. And we call that a segment intending. It's a moment in your life, and you're pre-planning how you want it to go. There are people in the world that will say, well, let's just do this and we'll see how it happens.
Well, and even worse, we're talking to people going, let's just do, I know how it's gonna happen. They're gonna punch me, they're gonna yell at me. They make up all sorts of crazy, that's never gonna happen, but they really believe it.
So there's three things. One, well, let's just see, I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know, and they're not pre-deciding. Two, they're thinking it's going to be bad. Or three, they're anticipating something good is going to come of it, right? So something good is going to come of it is a much better mindset to approach someone with, to explain yourself and your vision for your company, and chances are you're going to get a better result. And, you know, if for some reason they don't go along with you, it just means they're not right for you, your business, your core values.
So I heard two things. The thing that you stated clearly, and then kind of a bonus thing I want to make sure people don't miss. So, and first of all, I agree with everything you said. Because the truth of the matter is none of us know what's going to happen, right? Not one of us can read the future. So, but we're always going to project what we think is going to happen. What I hear Suzanne's going, why not project what you want to have happen? We're making it up anyway, right? This is a story. Why not make a happy story as opposed to a sad story? And I agreed with what you said of, it's likely if I say, man, this is going to be Suzanne's podcast. She's terrible. I'm terrible. Everything's terrible. We might be able to sneak a good podcast out of that, but holy crap, it's gonna be a tough one, right? Maybe Suzanne, because she's so bright and powerfully minded, could do it, but I would make it hard on her. If I just said, let's see what's gonna happen, we'll see what's gonna happen. I don't think there'd be any effect, positive or negative. Maybe a little negative, because there's no certainty. If I just decided Suzanne's amazing, I've spoken to her in lots of other circumstances, she's fascinating, my audience is gonna find her fascinating, the chances that that becomes a reality are much higher. Now, the thing that I love that you did is you already pre-decided, let's say I have a perfect mindset and I think it's going to be an amazing podcast. And for whatever reason, Suzanne shows up poorly or I show up poorly and it's just a flop. It may be happening right now. You guys can reach out and tell me. I doubt. I think this is podcast magic. How dare you? But whatever reason doesn't meet my expectations. I love that you'd already decided on how my response is going to be. That's okay. We do. So my response could be, I knew I shouldn't have positively framed. It never works because my brain wants to give me the negative side of me, wants to tell me, I told you so. This pre-framing thing doesn't work. Or I could go, I'm just going to go, guess what? We'll make another podcast tomorrow and that one will be great. It'll be fine. Even if it wasn't perfect or what I wanted, I know someone's life has changed. Someone got it. There's 1,000 ways I could. So not only decide it's going to be great, but then when you decide, you can decide how you're going to respond to the outcome, even if you don't define it as great. There's so much power in that. I feel like I'm butchering your words, but how's it feel?
It's terrific. That's exactly it. And let's talk for a minute about the words react and respond.
1 minute, because we got to roll. So no pressure. This is the last big one because it's important. What is the difference between
reaction? Reaction is your knee-jerk reaction. Reaction is when someone hits you or says something bad to you, you just immediately want to say something bad back. It's like when the doctor gives you an injection and you get a rash. Responding is when you take a breath and you say, this is what I'm choosing to say or do. Take the breath. We want to respond, not react. So it's, we can always make this good. That's the response.
That C word is magic. I choose. So the reaction is like my dog. If I kicked it, he would probably bite me. I've never kicked my dog, by the way. Let's just be clear. I love my little guy. And I don't even think he'd bite me. So sweet. But he would have a response that wouldn't be thought through. It wouldn't be on the basis of our relationship and how I fed him and loved him. If I was walking or running, and this has happened, I've accidentally kicked him or collided or something like that. I think dogs are kind of stuck reacting, right? He might jump or snap or do something. Whereas humans, we have that ability to respond and go, you know, if Suzanne and I did something, we've known each other for a long time, and she responded reacted in a way I thought was negative, I could contextualize and take a beat and go, okay, my reaction would be to fight or argue or to settle or hash or whatever. But my response, I can choose to be something that's a little healthier for our long-term relationship, as opposed to just, you know, making myself feel good or indulging in that. All right, Cleaning Nation, I have a feeling we're going to have more Suzanne, because I asked about 7 hours worth of questions and gave her 12 minutes to respond. So reach out, let us know what you like. If you were like, I am digging what you guys are picking up, I want that community, I don't want to be alone, I want more of these resources, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. Hundreds of hours of absolutely free content. We've got a on-demand training. It's the best that we've ever got. Suzanne's there, Trace is there, everybody's there. growmycleaningcompany.com. We'll see you there.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.